Before I start this morning, I want to encourage you. We got a meeting after church today, and if you've not taken the step to be baptized, and you want to consider that, you might want to come to that meeting. I look back on my Christian walk, and one of the times it's imprinted in my mind, I can close my eyes and remember taking that step and being baptized, and I just encourage you. To the Holy Spirit prompts you, maybe you're not sure, come stay after, it'll be a short meeting, and we'll talk about that, okay? All right. Now I know what I believe inside. I'm awake and I'm alive, and I'm thinking you had to be awake during that song, didn't you? But here's what I wonder. Can you honestly say that in your life? That you are awake, that you are alive when it comes to your Christian walk. The fact is, are you losing the war with the world and with culture? Do you know what you believe about life, what you believe about eternity? What you believe really matters. You know, we're concluding our series Kingdom, and we've been talking about God's kingdom and kingdom issues. And the fact is, as Christ followers, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. God's kingdom transcends this world. And as Christ followers, we are to think differently than the world. Which is hard, isn't it? I mean, it means having different values. It means we operate with a different economy. We have a different focus in life. The fact is, we live differently. And as God, through the Holy Spirit, breathes into our lives, we are to become a new creation. We're to live life in light of eternity. You know, and that's really what I want to talk about today, living life alive and awake and understanding what we really, really believe. Because when I look at the world and look at a lot of Christ followers, there are so many that have no idea what life's about. You know, when you look at life, there are really three things that you can do with your life. You can waste it. And there are a lot of things you can waste your life on. And you can spend it. And that's a good thing. Spend it on your career, on hobbies, acquiring things, pursuing happiness. Those things are fine. But the really important thing is the fact that you can invest your life. You know, Jesus taught that the greatest use of your life is to invest in things that will outlast you. He told a story, the parable of the talents. Many of you know that parable. And it's about kingdom principles in there. And I'm going to kind of deconstruct that a little bit, that parable. But things that when you fully understand them, it changes the direction of your life. It changes the way you think, your priorities, your values, how you live on a daily basis. You know, what's God's kingdom like? Well, Jesus tells us. He says, for it'd be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. So the first thing that hits me is ownership. You know, everything I have belongs to God. God made it all. You really own nothing. The fact is you came into this world with nothing. And when you die, according to statistics, we all will, you take nothing out of it. What you and I have, we simply get to use for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. And the fact is, we're stewards of that stuff. In the story, who's the owner? Well, it's the guy that's going on the journey. He owns everything. He entrusts it to his servants. And it's about allocation, I see here, where God has given you and me talents. in our lives. It says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. A talent was a lot of money. And I think we miss this. I think it's been mistaught a lot through the years. The fact is, 1 silver talent, and that would have been the smallest of the talents, was 15 years of wages that he was given. One talent was. You know, each servant's given talents. One of them's given 5 talents. One's given 2 talents. One's given 1 talent. And the idea was that they were to take the talent, they were to invest it, they were to manage it, they were to take care of it. And if you break this down, I mean, 1 talent in today's economy would have been over $500,000. I mean, if you consider $35,000 being, and this is conservative here, but that being a yearly wage. So this is like this guy's handing and going, here's $500,000. Take care of this for me. 1 talent. 5 talents would have been $2.5 million. So just do the math there. You and I have talents. We have abilities. We have resources. We have skills. We have opportunities. I mean, what's that include? Everything. Everything. Anything that you have, God has entrusted to you. Parents, your children. God's entrusted you. Your job, your possessions are all considered talents, everything that you have. And notice in the story that there's different amounts, that everybody gets something. In other words, there's nobody that's no talent person. You know, what the fact is, when you consider your abilities and your gifts and your skills and your resources and your time and your opportunities, everybody's been given something. We all probably have multiple talents that we're to be responsible for, that we're to be stewards of these talents. And here's what the servants do. It says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with it, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So now we're going to talk about accountability a little bit here. God expects you and me to use the talents that he's given us. The scripture says, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He had entrusted them with some things. He had invested in them. And he expected, in fact, wanted a return on what he had given. God has made an investment in your life, and God expects a return on that. The fact is, God is going to ask you someday to give an account of your life. It's an audit. And the question that nagged me all week is, are you ready for that? Now, this is not about salvation. It's about Christ followers and what you've done with your life. It's about accountability. What did you do with what I gave you? God's going to ask. You and I have been born in the greatest country, in one of the most blessed times in history. And I believe the greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility we have. And so I wonder, how are you utilizing what God has given you? I mean, we know that the servants in the story utilized what they were given. You know, the first guy, he takes the 5 talents and he doubles it, 100% return. The second guy, he doubles his also. And the third guy digs a hole and buries his talents. He doesn't do anything. I mean, maybe he thought, you know, I'm going to play this safe. Maybe. We know later in the story, he actually claims that he's afraid. And I like the way that the message translates the next part of this story. He says, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways. that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid. I was afraid I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound to the last cent. It's interesting because we know right away that the owner's ticked off. It says the master was furious. It's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautious like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Friends, when I read that story, the thing that just stands out to me is you cannot please God playing it safe in your life. I want you to think about that. See, pleasing God always requires risks. When I say risks, I want to make sure you understand what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about being irresponsible in your life. That is another issue for another day. But why does God want us to take risks in our life? Because it takes faith. It's something that we need him to be involved in. You know, Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Christ followers, we're to take risks in life. We are to exercise our faith. Doing nothing is inexcusable. It's unacceptable. I mean, God would rather have you try something in your life and totally blow it than to do nothing. See, I would rather attempt to do something great and fail than to attempt nothing and succeed in my life. I realize I may not, when I take my last breath, I may not reach all my goals. But when this life's over, I want there to be no question that I tried. You know, maybe they can put that on my tombstone. At least he tried, you know. See, what I want to get at is what matters is the heart. It's the effort that's there. And so I wonder, are you trying to make an impact with your life, something that will outlast you? Are you trying to do something that will mark eternity with that one and only life God's given you? Because when you take that last breath, and we all will, we're going to wake up in eternity. And doing nothing is not an option, because when I wake up in eternity, it will be crystal clear what matters in this world. You know, it's curious to me when I read this. It's the guy that got the one talent that decides the best plan of action is bury the talent. Why is that, you think? See, I was thinking, typically, we tend to think that way, don't we? I've only got one talent. I'm not a superstar. And so I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'll leave it to someone that's more gifted than me. I'll just bury mine. Friends, I see dull Christians all the time that are not alive in their faith. The fact is, their strength fades. They struggle to stay awake and to make their relationship with God vital and important. And instead, what happens is it becomes some routine. Well, it's because we're sitting on the sidelines, spectators, not participating. And friends, that's exactly how you bury your talents. Well, you're not putting them in the ground, but you're burying them. The fact is, you stretch when you get in the game, not when you're on the sidelines going, go team, go. It's about utilization. God has given everyone here gifts and talents and opportunities, and God expects us to make use of those. No excuses. You know, in eternity, when you're standing before God giving an account, I mean, what excuse are you going to give? I expect none. I look at my early life, and there's things I think, man, I've got the answer to God for that. But my guess is I won't throw any excuses out. You know why? Because I believe in that moment we'll be filled with so much regret. Those excuses, they fall away. They seem ridiculous, puny maybe. The fact is, I think in that moment, we will all realize the mistakes we've made. And here's the deal. As your pastor, friend, I want you to be prepared for that day, because it's inevitable. We'll all stand there. Let's talk about motivation for a minute. Why do you think we lack motivation? I mean, when we know how important, we know that this life is short, we know that eternity is ahead, but somehow we just struggle. I mean, we know God's gifted us, that we're to use those talents to make a difference in God's kingdom. And kind of like the third guy in the story, we bury our talents. We're often held back. And I think, well, why? Well, fear. Fear, for one. And I think fear is one of the greatest strategies of the evil one, because he wants to use that to paralyze you, to neutralize you. The fact is, fear will cause you to bury your talents. He'll use it and create fear in you so that, what, you got self-doubt. I could never do that. Yeah, I'm not qualified to do that. Fear of failure, you know. How many of you remember being in class when you were a kid and the teacher would ask a question and you knew the answer, but in the back of your mind, there was that little nag, wasn't it? There's a chance I'm wrong. And so what'd you do? You didn't raise your hand. You just sat there, didn't you? You didn't want to take a chance. I didn't want to take a chance when I was really young. I was afraid they'd think I was a dork or a dweeb. I'm not sure what the word is today. I tried to look. It was like, what word do they use today? But that doubt, it's fine when you're a kid. In fact, I believe it's something you've got to learn to kind of work through and overcome. But I will tell you, it doesn't cut it as an adult. Do not let fear cause you to hide your talent. I mean, self-pity, that'll keep you from using your talents. It'll keep you hiding. You know, I failed before. I got involved. It was a really bad experience. I'm never going to try that again. And that's kind of like saying I got bad food at a restaurant one time. I'm never eating out again. You know, it makes no sense. There are really two ways that you deal with failure in life, and we all fail from time to time. Yeah, but it really crystallized when you look at the life of Peter and Judas. I mean, they were both disciples of Jesus Christ. They both committed the same sin just a day apart. They denied Jesus. This is right before Jesus died on the cross. You know, Judas, he's overcome with his failure and the guilt, and he got so depressed at a point, it just overwhelmed him. And he just gave up, and he took his life because of it. Peter, on the other hand, Scripture says he wept bitterly. That there was a deep sorrow that came over him. Peter had not just denied Jesus once. We know from Scripture he denied him three times. But Peter would deliver a message 50 days later, and God used him to initiate and give birth to the church. I mean, 3,000 people came forward that day after he preached, and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ that day. I mean, 50 days after the greatest failure in his life, most believe he had his greatest success. See, it does not matter where you've been or what you've done in your life. What matters is where you are going from this point forward. Those mistakes, those regrets, none of those things matter. What matters is the direction that you're heading today. God wants you to use your gifts and your talents. In fact, the best is ahead when you do that. I think we also fear what other people think. That's one of the things to keep you from doing things. I mean, some of you are very hesitant to give yourself completely to God. A little bit resistant, you know, to give God your full heart and soul and mind and strength. Because you're afraid of what other people think. You're afraid people are going to think you're weird or strange. And so I want to clarify for all of you today, people already think you're weird and strange. It's dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you, what? Trust the Lord. You are safe. If you trust the Lord, you're safe. Many times when we make excuses for whatever in our life, it's really about fear, isn't it? I mean, the fact is we make excuses for ourselves. And we do it different ways. I mean, sometimes we do it by pointing at people and we go, they're a lot more talented than me. Let them do it. You know, and I will tell you that if only the best of the best got involved, nothing would ever get done. The fact is, God wants your heart. God wants your mind. He wants your soul. God wants to use you. Fear will cause you to bury your talents and come up with excuses of why I don't want to do anything. Fear will keep you from giving. Given to God, given to God what belongs to God. It'll keep you from experiencing the blessings of God in your life. And I will tell you, it's really easy to spot. I hear it all the time. People go, well, you know, if I had more. And I always go, no, that's not true. That's not true. They, well, you know, if I had as much as they've got, they've got a lot. And so why don't you have them do it? This is about the talent and talents that God has placed in you. It is a heart issue. This is about being obedient and faithful to God. This is about acknowledging, because ultimately, till you come to a point you realize it all belongs to God, you struggle. The fact is, God has given you everything. Everything. And I know every time I talk about these kind of things, people push back. You know, no, he didn't. He didn't give me everything. I've worked hard. And I always say, well, who gave you the talent? Who gave you the opportunities? Who gave you the gifts? Who gave you the breath? There's one to think about. I mean, Peter answers this. He writes in the book of Acts, he says, he's talking about God. God is the one who gives people life, breath, and everything else they need. It all comes from God. We're stewards. And friends, God's testing. He's testing to see if we'll be faithful. He's testing to see if we'll be faithful or we're going to bury our talents. You know, when the master asked for an account, the guy that had the one talent, I love it because you almost feel like he had the speech prepared ahead of time. I knew you had high standards. I knew that you wanted the best. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I buried my talent. Great game plan. It would have been comical had it not been so sad. You know, one of our grandkids, who will remain nameless, recently got a report card at the end of the year. And it really reflected less than their capabilities by a long shot. And we were looking at the report card, or Cindy was with him, and he was embarrassed, ashamed. And then he started giving excuses, some really pathetic excuses. And Cindy finally said, you know, it's really God's fault. If God had not made you so smart and gifted and talented, none of this would be an issue. The servant rattles off all these reasons why he didn't invest, why he decided he would bury the talents. And he basically, when you read that, he blames the owner, kind of passing the buck. Standard was so high. Fear will cause you to make excuses. And the point is, be careful. Burying your talent. Why? Well, here's the application. If you don't use it, you will lose it. This isn't just a saying. I believe it's true about everything in life. If you do not use it, you will lose it. Your time? You can waste it. Your money? You can waste it. Your efforts, your energy, your talents, your ability, if you do not use it, you will lose it. You have to wake up at some point. It says, so take the talent from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents, the one that had turned 5 into 10. Give him another one. And you read that and you think, that's not fair. I mean, the rich is going to get richer. The talented get more talented? Oh, economy of God's kingdom. God has every right to take away what we do not use, what we waste, what we don't invest. I mean, it's all his to start with. And I believe we forfeit by not using it, by just burying it. And this isn't just a kingdom law. I believe it's a universal law. If you don't use your muscle, what happens to it? You will lose it. You don't use your mind, you will become dull. You do not use the opportunities that God gives you, whether it be in business or sports or ministry or whatever, you will lose those opportunities. If you do not practice your talent, whatever your talent is, you will lose it ultimately. Use it or lose it, you got to wake up. You got to wake up on this one. The issue is whatever you need more of, you start giving it to God. You start using it for God. Anybody need more energy in their life? You start using your energy and allowing God to use you and use that energy, and you watch what happens. A little energy in the hands of the creator and sustainer of this universe, and your energy will actually increase. It doesn't make sense, but that's how it is. You'll come alive in your life. You need more time, you start giving God your time. You need more money and resources in your life, you leverage toward God. You need more talent, you give God the talents that you have and watch God work over time, creating and strengthening and multiplying. Whatever it is that you need, God gets involved when you begin to leverage that stuff toward him. It breathes life. It's how God works. And so you go, well, okay, so what's the compensation for this? Well, friends, if you use your talents, if you invest them, God says, I'm going to reward you. It's a test. It's why we're on this earth. It's why we're alive. I mean, the servant who was faithful gets rewarded in the story. Both the servants that were faithful. It says very similar to each of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of what? Many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. There are three things I see in that. One is the affirmation itself. I want you to imagine you stand before God. You stand before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You'd probably be kneeling, by the way. But you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You gave it your very best. Friends, I can't even imagine how overwhelming that'll be. If you're faithful, you will hear that in eternity. But not just in eternity, you have the opportunity to experience that on a regular basis. Here now, you can hear it. You know, it's that time when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something. We've all had this experience. I just had this nagging feeling I should do. And so you finally take the step and you do whatever it is that you feel God calling you to do. And at some point along the way, you hear that voice, the Holy Spirit whispering, way to go. Good job. Well done. And it's an affirmation. And friends, it moves you forward in life. You know, there's the promotion in this. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. I'm giving you more responsibility. I'm entrusting you with more. Some of you want more. You want more out of life. You want more. You want more. And in fact, I'll just say it. Some of you think you deserve more. Culture has you believing that you deserve more. But friends, more is not untethered from faithfulness. It's not untethered from being responsible in life. If you want more in your life, learn to be faithful with what you got. Learn to be faithful with what God has blessed you with. That is the truth. Culture will lie to you. And many times, God does not trust you with more because you're not being faithful with what you have. When I have more time, I'll give my time to God. I'll be faithful. You know, when I have more money, I'll be faithful in my giving. And I want to say, wake up. Wake up. You won't. You got to get that turned. You know, I love the reward at the end here, and it's easily missed. Come and share your master's happiness. The thing I've learned in life is the happiest people I know are those that use their God-given talents and skills and those opportunities, and they use them for God. They know what they believe. They're living out their faith. They're doing what they know God wants them to be doing. They're honoring God. They're awake. They're alive. They're moving forward. And friends, when God does an audit of your life, and it's inevitably coming, like it or not, will it show a profit or a loss? Is God going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or will that conversation go a whole nother direction? And I want to say, wake up. You need to start preparing for that day now. Right here, right now. How do you prepare? Well, you got to get a game plan. I'll show you, just simply put, how do you grow? You know, look at your talents. What are your talents? And as you look at those, I want you to think about, what percentage of your talents do you really use? What talents are you not using? What talents have you decided to bury? You're hiding them. Where would you like to grow? Where would you like to be in a year? Where does God want you to be? You know, think about your time. You know, what percent of your time do you give to God? You know, give to God's purposes. Invest in your spiritual growth, ministry, helping other people. Right now, you know, what we spend an hour and 15 minutes. You know, some of you have been here for a couple hours. So that's stuff, that's leverage toward it. But I was thinking there's 168 hours in a week. If I give 16 hours to my spiritual life, that's 10% of my life. I mean, where are you there? Where would you like to be? Here's a more important question. Where would God like you to be? Where would God like you to be in 6 months? Where would God like you to be in a year? I don't know. How about resources, money? You know, what percent do you invest in God's kingdom? What do you give back to God? Remember, it's all God's anyway. Are you investing in God's kingdom? And if not, I just say, start somewhere, anywhere. Pick a point. Doesn't matter. Just pick a place. Where are you? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 2 years? Where does God want you to be? See, the wisest investment you can make, it's not Edward Jones. It's not Merrill Lynch. It's not the stock market. It's when you come to God finally and say, you know what, God, I'm going to make the rest of my life matter. I'm going to make it count. I'm going to invest in your kingdom. I'm waking up. I'm going to mark eternity. I'm going to make a difference. I am not standing on the sidelines anymore. I'm not burying my talents. I believe you, Lord. I can trust you. And I'm going to live for you. And then you see where it takes you. See, right here, right now, this is your time. And I know we get hung up. It's like, oh, yeah, but my past. Friends, I don't care about your past. Where are you going? What are you doing with what you have left of life? You have to decide. You have to decide. And friends, I can tell you that much on the other side in eternity, if you've invested properly, you will know it. You'll be thankful. You know, when you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, you will realize it was all worth it. This morning I got up and got in the hot tub and I realized I had this song in my head. And anybody that knows, I usually write my messages and I'm done on Thursdays, and so everything's set, and I rarely deviate. I mean, God works on me early in the week, but I got up, and this song just keeps going through my head, and I'm like, what is that tune? And I'm trying to place it because I'm humming it, and, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it just hit me. I thought, yeah, I could have just sang that. I'm not sure if you would have liked it. That's not one of my talents. But friends, where you invest in your life, it's worth considering. It's a kingdom issue. Let's bow in a word of prayer. God, we lay all things before you. God, I pray whatever area of our life we're burying our talents, God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just shake us awake. God, that we'd take a risk. that we'd trust you. God, that we wouldn't squander what you've given us. God, I pray that you would move through your people. We'd be about expanding your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I pray as we fix our eyes on your Son in the next few moments, God, that your Holy Spirit would just remind us of that great love, that you gave everything for us, that your Son gave it up for us. God, that we would live life in light of eternity. God, we give you the glory, the praise with all we say, all we do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. And God's people said,